Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear, Yarby Tom.
Sorry.
No, it's all right, man. I enjoyed it. Yarby Tom.
And I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew.
Oh, no.
And welcome aboard the good ship.
They've made
house
me
meeting.
Walk the plank and no mistake.
We're going to keel haul parry after that.
The Crosby and Clarkie are modern day pirates. You see, they've got radars.
Somali
they're
pirates.
Active off the coast.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, we're the captain now. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Absolutely. And welcome to house meeting, guys. You know, it's always great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
You know, it's lovely to have Clarkie here, obviously.
Thanks, mate.
Lovely to have Parry here. Thanks for letting us into your ear canal.
Yar. Be a treat. Yes, anyway.
Before we get cracking, really want to big up the next show we're doing. It's very, very exciting. We're doing a brand new, it's like a brand new format based on Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We've not done this before. We're going to be trying it out as a live stream. We'd love you to be there to help us out with it. It's called Beef Brothers... it's called Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, Sausage Link.
Catchy. It's up there with all the great chat show titles. It's up there with Wogan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We have a brilliant guest on to go through. Well,
speaking of going through, what's just gone through you, Parry? Are you all right?
Peppermint tea's repeating on me. It's just like Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, where we have a brilliant guest on and they solve the beefs of listener dears, but with a new little twist, like you get a twist between sausages.
Absolutely, like you twist bangers together. So the idea is the comics are going to be solving not only your beefs, but they're going to be solving each other's beefs in a link. So we've got James Acaster, we've got Darren Harriott, we've got Lou Sanders, we've got Ed Gamble, we've got Fatah El Ghori, and we've got Athena Koblenyu, and they are all going to be solving each other's beefs in turn. It's going to be so fun. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be on May the 23rd, Sunday evening at 7:30, and you can get your tickets from eventbrite.co.uk, EventBrite. There's a link in the show notes. There'll be a link on our Twitter or on our Facebook or on our Instagram. Go there now and get your tickets straight away because it's going to be hella fun.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. And
it's a good lineup, isn't it? Yeah.
We're going to give it the best go we possibly can.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I left that bit out because I thought that was just something we'd agreed amongst ourselves. But
well, I've heard the rumours.
The truth's out now, guys. We're going to give it a really good go.
Okay, so I'd heard the rumours. There'd been, you know, whispers, but we're going to put paid to those right now and say we're going to give it the best go we can.
Before we get cracking as well, I thought I would read this message out from Ivan, who got in touch with us via pappysflatshare@gmail.com.
Great way to
we'd love to
touch.
Hear from you.
He
says, hi Matthew, Emma, Tom and Ben, in order of who I think would get eaten first in a Donner Party-esque situation, which I think was the time when like an expedition went wrong and everyone had to eat each other, the Donner Party.
Wow.
Donner kebab party, more like
exactly, yeah. I mean, you can eat me first, but there's not much of me. He says, now, he's talking about...
It's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
We're definitely going to eat him first after that.
No, you're just going to kill me and not eat me.
Eat the mouth first.
Oh, I wouldn't mind that, actually.
Oh,
I died as I lived, getting a lovely Frenchie. so he's responding to Clarkie's thing of talking about wanting to join the old Crown Green Bowls.
Oh, yes.
To feel young.
Yes.
So Ivan says, on things to make you feel young, When I joined the trade union in my mid-20s, it was amazing to feel so young. I'm now nearing 40 and I still get to feel like a whippersnapper most of the time at union meetings. So heartily recommend. Clarkie, join a trade union. I mean, you have to have a trade.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's the problem.
Maybe I just need to get a trade.
If anyone's got a suggestion for a trade for Clarkie, pappiesflatcher@gmail.com.
If anyone wants to podcasting, try podcasting, Clarkie.
Nah, not for me.
I don't think we can unionise podcasters. If we unionise podcasters, the first person to quit would be Emma. I hate to be one of those guys, but we can't unionise.
Well, here's why she'd be the first to quit, because she's had to edit this incredible house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
Do you think...
Constantly.
I know. The problem. There's no way of switching off. There's no off on the genius switch for you, is there, Tom? It's constantly whirring. What have been some of your biggest ideas recently that you think you've had? Or your biggest thoughts? They're not necessarily ideas. I'm not looking for inventions here. But what have been the big thoughts that have troubled that fevered brain of yours?
I spent a bit of time today thinking about food packaging, kind of like cans, like food cans.
Oh yeah,
and like drink cans. It's pretty mad actually.
Why do you think drink cans are mad? Or is it mad that you were thinking about them so much?
I mean, probably a bit of both. It's just insane to me that like you put, like if you look at the whole soft drink kind of phenomenon,
yeah,
doesn't work. It's not right. It works, but it's odd. I don't know. Anyway.
What is it you don't like about the can, though? What is it you think that it's... it just doesn't seem like the most... I mean, what would be the alternative method of ferrying Coca-Cola around the planet?
It feels like the polar opposite of what it starts as. When you look at what food was and is and how it exists in its form.
Right.
And what we've done to it is we've got it into this can... And it's like
so this is a fruit, and like, is it, because it's a fruit flavoured drink, isn't it? Coca-Cola,
sort caramel.
Of. I mean,
is it caramel flavoured? Is that
caramel
what it is?
Caramel flavoured, yeah.
But is it what is it? Is it Dr Pepper that's fruit flavoured?
Dr Pepper's, yeah. Like it's like, yeah. Which,
but it's so far away. Like Coca-Cola is so far away from any food, isn't it?
Coca-Cola's fucking mad, actually. That it's done so well for what it is. It's not an entirely pleasant drink, but it's managed to convince everyone that it's nigh on essential.
Yeah, I agree with this. I hardly ever drink Coca-Cola, and when I do, I always expect it to be a lot better than it is. Another good example of this is the other day I arrived early for work, and I had it in my head, even from getting into the car, and it happens maybe once every 2 years. Getting into the car, I thought, I'm going to have a McDonald's. And I arrived early for work, and I went to a McDonald's drive-thru, and I ordered the McDonald's breakfast, and I ate it in the car, and it was so awful. It was so bad. It was disgusting. I mean, I ate all of it as well. Like, I took one bite and I was like, this is awful, but I still ate it all, and I ate the hash brown and the lot. And
the real predicament as well is being in your own car.
You're kind of hotboxing yourself, yeah.
You can't really escape from it.
With the fumes of...
I was hotboxing myself, yeah, yeah. But also, the queue was huge. Like, I was almost late for work. That's how long the queue was for these people who wanting to get this McDonald's breakfast.
I mean, I'm hopelessly...
devoted
hopelessly
to you?
Committed to the, hopelessly devoted to the...
The Golden Arches.
To the breakfast, yeah. It's problematic.
It's the same with Coca-Cola, isn't it? It's
what I think is, right, if you put us in the fucking wild, we're in the Hunger Games or some shit, us into a forest.
The three of us specifically, like,
Yeah, the three of us.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
The three of us, right, and we're off on our
What do we say in the Hunger? Do you say I give myself as tribute? Is that what, is that the Hunger Games?
Yes, I think offer that's
my,
happened. Yeah,
I offer myself as tribute. So, right, okay, yeah. So we're in the Hunger Games.
But either way, we're in the fucking. We're parachuted in, and it's like we got to look after ourselves. Someone's gone off. You've gone off and got berries. Great. You know, you're gonna think we're gonna have a crack at some of those berries for better or worse.
Yeah, they could kill us.
Clarky's killed a seagull. You kind of go
really hard to do.
We're gonna have a go at that. You reckon? You kind of go. Your instinct's gonna say that, right? And meanwhile, it's like we need to find water. We need to find liquid. Yeah. And so off I go with my divining rods or whatever it is, and it's like I find a stream. There's like a pool.
Yeah.
And next to that pool, in the pool, is a man with no arms. No. And he's been chased by bees. No. No. So like...
At first you thought you were talking to a dog, but...
So, no, but I'm saying like, you look at water.
Yeah.
Look how...
Yeah.
Look at water. It's what we need. It's what the body needs.
Yeah.
Look at it. It's incredible. It's insane. It's beautiful. It's a miracle, actually. Isn't it? It's like... It's see-through, but it's there. It's liquid, but it's like, it's nuts, actually.
It's see-through, but it's there. It's liquid, but it's nuts. These how long have you been working for the Water Marketing Board? Because these slogans are good, man.
Water is off the fucking scale. And then next to it, if you found a puddle of water and you found a puddle of brown fizzing liquid.
Yeah, bubbling.
That was sticky.
Slightly viscous.
No one is going to go, oh, drink that, actually. No one's going to go, you know that thing there? You should really drink that. You'd be like, are you fucking insane? Look at the water. Look at that clear, cold, flowing. It looks right. It looks like it should be in my mouth. Nothing about Coca-Cola looks like it should go in your mouth. It's brown. It's fucking brown.
You can eat brown things.
What?
You shouldn't really, though.
Brown's Hold on.
Potatoes are brown.
Not inside.
Wholemeal bread?
If they've gone brown inside.
Yeah, you're right. That's bad.
You're going to stumble across wholemeal bread in the fucking forest?
You're not going to stumble across Coca-Cola, Tom. It's not naturally occurring.
I'm saying if it were.
So wait, in this world, Coca-Cola's naturally occurring, but you're not allowing Clarky to have bread naturally occurring.
Oh, Clarky stumbled across the loaf tree, has he? Climb up in the branches and pull us down a cob.
What else am I going to do with this seagull if not make a seagull sandwich?
This gull sandwich isn't going to make itself. But I'm just saying, like, it's not in the scheme of things. Brown isn't a great colour to be
brown's
sticking
an
in
outside colour, isn't it?
Yeah,
brown is the outside colour, or it suggests it's been tampered with in some way. It's been toasted or roasted or something to brown.
Or it's gone
up.
Bad. If your potato's black on the inside, then
it's black. No one said black. Nobody said black. We're still saying brown.
You know what I mean, though? But like, if it's gone brown, if your potatoes have gone brown, if your carrots are brown, unlucky, mate.
Yeah,
it's the old saying, if carrots are brown, turn them down.
But actually, like, all, you know, like, the colour stuff, it's fucking, it's fruit, it's veg, it's good, apart from obviously water, which is the famously
exception
no
proves
colour.
The rule, isn't it? Yeah.
But that
it's
in itself makes it some kind
and
of...
And it's nuts.
Like, well, all I'm saying is, if we weren't exposed to water as much as we are...
We'd die.
If you put water in a film as a fucking magic potion, people would be like, oh my God, that's so fucking cool. They had this thing that was like, it had no colour.
Have you seen Waterworld?
It was there, but it was not.
No one watched that and went, oh my God, that's so fucking cool.
It looks like, you know, it's like God juice or some shit. It's like the miracle of life.
Yeah.
But because we see it so much... We instead hanker for this brown, fizzy madness.
What about coffee?
Yeah, about coffee as well.
Yeah, what about coffee? Coffee's more natural, you know, the ground beans of coffee. They're not, you know.
No, but it's not, it doesn't look like you should drink it. This like dark, brown, black liquid that smells pretty, you know, odd and tastes a bit. I think if everyone took a step back and was really honest with themselves about Coca-Cola and coffee, they'd be like, actually, nah, we shouldn't, should we?
So you're more into things that don't, that have no, that odourless and have no, you can sort of see through them. That would be the, that's your dream, is it? So like a mostly ice and water diet.
Taste has fucked us, basically. Taste is like the snake in the Garden of Eden.
Now,
where it's like we've kind of taste is like king in this mad society of ours, and everyone's like, but it tastes good, and it's like, hey, well, does it? It tastes of some shit that you've been told tastes good, but like taste is ruling the roost, man. And if like Jesus turns up, and it's like when he chucked the moneylenders out the temple, someone should give taste a hiding.
Hold on though, because I think we'd like, well. Is sugar, is it about taste, or is it about like how it makes you feel? Your body fucking loves sugar.
That McDonald's breakfast
craves it.
But here's the thing: the McDonald's breakfast, and I know it's got lots of sugar in it. It's got lots of salt in it, but it didn't taste good. It made me feel like I'd been beaten up. But I know 2 years down the line, because I've had this conversation before, where I've said, oh, I always forget how much I hate McDonald's until I go there. But something like a little bell in my head. And for some people, they must get that bell, you know, five times a week. You know,
a double cheeseburger just kills me. It's so good.
Does it?
But it never feels good 10 minutes away, like 10 minutes afterwards?
Afterwards, yeah.
Almost so it's instantly, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So basically, McDonald's is just like sort of tickling my toes for 2 years of going, you're gonna, you know, you, like the, it's the excitement that it's kind of creating rather than the actual experience. How does it do it? I mean, obviously, I don't think most people are going once every 2 years. Lots of people are going all the time. What
I mean, like
getting?
If that's the product, could we, like, you know, if we could be the podcast equivalent, are we the podcast equivalent of that, where people would be like, I've got to listen to it, and they listen to it and they're like, go, it's very good, and then they listen to it again.
Are you pitching that as a concept? That we get millions of listeners, but they only listen once every 2 years.
All right. I mean, that there's something in that, isn't
there?
It's
not bad. Yeah, yeah.
I always wanted to do, I'm sure I've told you about this recently, but like I always wanted to do a production of play. When I was a student, I always thought it'd be great to do productions of plays, but in real time. So you do The Winter's Tale, and between Act 4 and Act 5, there's a year, and so the audience goes away for a year, and then they come back and watch Act 5.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said they go away for a year rather than just they've got to just really, they're going to really rinse those concession stalls. This, how many ice creams have you got? This is going to last us 12 months.
This Coca-Cola you're selling, is this naturally occurring?
Only selling Coca-Cola and Seagull sandwiches. Why? Gull doesn't... No one really eats gull, do they?
It's not typically in the sort of three-bird roast, is it? Your gull. I'm guessing it's probably not got a lot of... not got a lot of heft to it.
Yeah, they're very light, aren't they?
Is it mostly the sort of flightless or semi-flighted birds that get eaten?
Yeah.
Is it the fly in there?
Pigeons have a bit of it, don't they?
Pigeons, yeah, that's, you're right, true. Actually, yeah. Pigeons do, and they're famous flyers.
We'd fucking feast on pigeons in our Hunger Games, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting excited about that. He's really excited. We could have pigeons marinated in Coca-Cola. Naturally occurring Coca-Cola.
In the puddle.
Roll the pigeon around in the puddle. Stick it on the spit. You know,
couple of hours. There's going to be no hunger in our Hunger Games.
It's just the games.
We're the only ones who've killed ourselves.
Game.
Just overeating. They'll find us in the forest for years to come.
Where we only eat birds. There's no hunger and there's plenty of game. It's just called game. Three fat guys eating birds.
And at some point, someone's going to come up and go, you know, you're supposed to be killing people, right?
Have you offered yourself as tribute? Have you tried this fucking sparrow, mate? How are you on your birds?
Terrible, actually.
There's three birds in our garden that at the moment, the landing, it's pretty incredible to see, actually. Obviously, it's a vertical wall.
You didn't go with the pyramid.
No big deal. No big deal, guys. But
he's
gone for the vertical,
to a vertical walled house. Oh my god, la-dee-da.
There's no horizontal walls yet.
So, the horizontal walls are the floors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're vertical walls that we've gone for at the back of our
Congratulations.
House.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank
just
you.
At,
thank
just
you.
At the back, yeah.
Yeah, just at the back.
The front is a half pipe, isn't it?
Well, welcome to heaven. No, seven. Number seven is, sorry. Seven is a half pipe, they say. So these birds, they land on the vertical wall, a bit like that goat that does it up the dam. You seen that video of the goat that fucking shimmies up the dam?
Yeah, I have seen that actually. But
so if David Attenborough passes away, I think you should take over.
Fucking
it up the old fucking dam.
What are you drinking there, by the way, Tom?
Pepsi. I'm sponsored by them.
Sorry, yeah, I never got to finish my point about Coca-Cola being rank. Isn't Pepsi lovely?
yummy.
It's a peppermint tea.
Nice.
Oh.
I was going to say, is that brown? But it's not, is it?
No.
Well, you see, it makes me feel part of my. You know, my evolution, it feels like, is herbal teas, you know? And I'm sure, obviously, there's very little that feels that natural about them. But now, like, you stick a bag in it, you think, there's a plant in that. I'm sticking it in this water and it's turning green.
It's natural, green, yeah.
Green for go, yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, green. Stick it in. Green foods generally feel like good foods, right?
Gross. Yeah, although for a while, for most of lockdown, I was on about 8 cups of peppermint and licorice tea, and then I found out licorice isn't good for you in that amount.
Can I ask as well, what was that doing to your insides? If you're drinking 8 peppermint and licorice, like, aren't they both laxatives?
There wasn't much else to do there, was there?
No, it's true. Flush yourself out.
Flush it out in lockdown. Anywho, now just onto the peppermint.
Nice. What were you talking about before that? Before you were making a point, and I've forgotten what it was.
Oh, these birds!
How are you up on your birds?
I want to get back to your original question as well, Crosby.
Oh, don't worry. We'll close on it. This is funny. Anytime I start something off, it just disappears. It's not. It's no bad thing because you know these chats aren't supposed to be in any way linear. but you know. I've still got it.
They're like a vertical wall, aren't they, now, chat?
Exactly. They're like a vertical wall attached to a half pipe. so go
a few
on.
Goats at the top.
What do they look like?
They're bright. They're more bright. Well, here's the thing, see, like, fucking no idea what these birds are.
Oh, the wall's too high.
Yeah, well, no, I can see them. They're right there. But, like, that's what I'm saying is they're not on top of the wall. They land, like, literally on the wall. They're, like, plug themselves onto the wall,
right,
and
okay.
Start chipping away at the bricks,
right. Ooh. to build a little nest in there. That seems mad, doesn't it, to build a nest between the bricks? But there are birds that can like live in sort of cliff faces and stuff, aren't there?
Yeah, so it's a bit like that, but just on brick. So they're just kind of tucking away at the brick, and I watch them do it. They, I don't know if they know I'm the, you know,
the owner.
Yeah,
I can tell you now they don't.
Well, if they do, then it's pretty fucking chopsy what they're doing.
They're pretty bold, aren't they? Have you tried one of those apps where you point it at the bird and it recognises the bird, like you get for bottles of wine?
Like a Shazam?
Yeah, I think...
For birds?
I'm trying to think of... I don't know if it's the picture of the bird or the sound of it chirruping, but I think it will recognise what the bird is. So maybe that's your thing, you know, stand by your wall and wait for them to appear and then...
Listen, I'm no expert, but carry on describing it, Tom, because maybe...
Maybe Clarky's going to get it. Clarky knows his animals.
I think there's a bit of green going on and a bit of red.
Is it a woodpecker?
No, it's not having that much of a go at the wall. I think I know if it was a woodpecker.
Brickpecker? Is it a brickpecker? They're not as popular as the woodpeckers. They're normally walking around clutching their beaks in agony.
Brickpecker's a great name, isn't it? It'd be a good name for like a renegade cop.
Well, it just seems like you've got a dick made of bricks. All right, Brick Pecker. Why do they call you Brick Pecker? He unzips his and brings out a...
Yeah, maybe it's a better prison nickname.
I'm Brick Pecker.
Brick Pecker, well, we'll bam, bam, oh, Brick Pecker, bam, bam, bam. But look, I mean, like, so... But all I'm saying is, like, I have no idea what these birds are up to, because mm-hmm. they can't, surely. They're not thinking of getting in, are they? Or, like, well, I don't know. Secondly, it just made me realise, like, I have absolutely no clue on birds, and there is a lot of birds going on in the UK.
Yeah.
And weirdly, here's a kind of stupidly jingoistic thought the other day. I kind of was like, we've got great birds, actually. I think we might have the best birds. Like, I think we have better birds than, like, Germany. Or, like...
What are sort of German birds?
Exactly.
No.
I'm glad you agree, Crosby.
I don't agree. No, that's not by any...
Places that have birds of paradise.
Yeah, what about tropical places that have tropical birds?
What if Britain is your paradise?
No.
We have birds of paradise.
A sparrow isn't a bird of paradise, because there is a bird called a bird of paradise.
Yeah, but that's a ridiculous name to give a bird, isn't it? Like, what if Devon's my paradise? Then the sparrow's a bird of paradise.
No, but
just depends on how you look at
it. It's not your paradise. It's the bird's paradise. You are, of course, a man of paradise. Anytime you're in Devon.
What if I think? One of the seven wonders of the world is Wolverhampton Town Centre. Then that's exactly. One of the seven wonders of the world.
Yeah, well, so that's what I'm saying. Is this bird. That's no, called no, this bird.
I'm not agreeing with you.
this is a great rhetorical technique, Parry's. Parry's got this great polemic technique where you say something that disproves his argument, and he goes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. It proves my point. You're like, what? No, I thought... Anyway, you bamboozled us into...
Who's called this bird of paradise, bird of paradise? It's clearly someone who's bigging up their own yard, isn't it? Like, if someone in Derby had chosen to call a sparrow the bird of paradise, then it'd be a different kettle of fish, wouldn't it?
I mean, it's like me calling
my child legendary renegade. Do you know what I mean?
The chief dude has named another one of his children, and guess what?
Legendary renegade.
Legendary renegade.
Can you just call me Lenny? No, your name is Legendary Renegade. I'm going to go by Lenny if that's all right, just because I don't want to keep getting beaten up at school.
Or Reg. Come on. Reg.
If you don't want to get beat up, hang around with the Brick Pecker. He'll sort you out.
Brick Pecker's your cousin.
Brick Pecker will sort you out, don't you worry. You realise, like, it's a bit of a grandiose name, isn't it? If a bird of paradise is as good as it makes out, then it doesn't need the name.
As good as it makes out. They're not self-branded.
So, well, put whoever branded them.
But we.
It sounds like they were branded by a tourist board. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Visit Hull.
I think it was branded by people travelling there, though. Like, I don't think, like, in Brazil they call them birds of paradise. I think we call them birds of paradise because we consider the rainforests, like, paradise. And the highly, like, coloured birds in the rainforest were like, those are birds of paradise because they're, like, way more impressive than any birds we've got.
So is it a genre of bird? Is, like, a parrot a bird of paradise?
I think so.
Are they, like, Nobel gases?
What do you mean?
Well, there are noble gases, aren't there?
You're saying, is this like a name for a group of things?
Like noble gases.
you went very specific there on quite a broad thing. Is this like stationery? Because, like, there's loads of different types of stationery, but, like, a pen is stationery, but... So, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, of the stationery world, I'd say the pen that you can pull down all the different colours is the bird of paradise.
Yeah.
On that, we can all agree. There it is. So beautiful.
He's got one of those
pens. I've got one for the viewer. So, yeah.
With those pens, though, you always get one colour running out first. Thank you for saying good question. Good question, Crosby. Not technically a question, but if you want to give an answer, feel free.
I was going to ask a good question.
Oh, sorry.
I was warning you that I've
come up with a
good question.
Your brain said to you, you've got a good question. And so rather than you going, wait, I'll wait till Crosby's finished speaking, you interrupt me with, good question. Okay, click. You've got a real snowplow going on today, Parry. You're pushing aside, but yeah, it is a good question.
You're brick pecking which one, the fuck out of us, and I love it.
You're brick pecking this conversation.
It's not a bad phrase to use, that is it?
Yeah.
So and so turned up after at the party after three drinks, really started brick pecking.
Yeah, my worry is I'm a brick pecker. Basically, I'm constantly hearing myself interrupting people. I think I'm a brick pecker. I can always hear.
Hearing yourself doing it, out-of-body experience.
But it is a bit of an out-of-body experience when someone's talking to you and you suddenly go, "Oh, they hadn't quite finished what they were saying." But I'm
yeah, and also what's worse is, oh, they hadn't quite finished what they're saying, and now I'm talking, and I actually haven't got that much to say.
I'm going to reiterate what they were saying back to them. That's the end. I'm just going to tell them basically what they just told me in different words. Not better words.
Yeah, I think that could be another one of our kind of copper bottom phrases that like becomes lexicon.
Brick pecking. Brick pecking. I really, we haven't done one for a while actually.
Because listener dears, everyone knows a brick pecker.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like, don't brick pecker me. You know, if you use that in the right context, someone will want to reuse that.
I'm really holding back now because I feel like now we've set up the idea of not brick peckering or brick pecking even. I don't want to talk over anybody.
Our podcast is kind of built on brick pecking, isn't it?
It is a brick pecking podcast, yeah.
It's new a brick title. Pod.
But brick in a good
can
way.
We add that into the mix?
I feel like we've got enough we've got enough titles already.
Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting Brick Pecking.
Yeah, that's what it's called from now on. That's what it's called from now on. But, Tom, you are absolutely right with your brick pecking there. It's a good question.
Listener, dear, you've got the red, you've got the black, you've got the green, you've got the blue. Which one's first for you guys?
I think my order would be black, blue, green, red. That's how long that's in order of running out first.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't actually use those pens.
Green's running out before red for you?
Yes, because it's an old...
You mad, bro?
I am a bit mad, actually. It's an old teacher hang-up that they were very anti-red pen when I first became a teacher. So when I was first training at teacher training college, they were like, red is, you know, red is a negative colour. It's, you know, big red crosses on kids' works suggests they've done something wrong. They've done something... Whereas if you mark with a green pen, then it's a neutral... In terms of, you know, not
permission
making...
to brick peck.
Yeah, brick peck. In fact, you can't ask permission to brick peck. Just brick peck away, man.
Good question.
Did you point them towards Coca-Cola?
Oh!
Did you point them towards the best, biggest selling company in the whole world?
Yeah.
What have they done with that shitty, horrible brown liquid? They've wrapped it in red, my friend. And what have we done? Go to McDonald's, did you? Oh, what colour was that sign that you headed towards? Like a moth to a flame.
It was yellow. It's a yellow sign. But the golden arches.
No, but the golden arches are in front of a red square.
I don't think they are anymore. I think that's from our childhood. But also, you know, your first brick peck.
Don't cock block my brick peck. You really cock-block my brick peck, my friend. No,
sorry,
listen.
Man. I think you're absolutely right, though. That, you know, in terms of packaging, Father Christmas, you know? Again, very associated with Coca-Cola. Red is not an inherently negative colour, but in terms of red crosses, although actually the Red Cross, you know...
Famously the Red Cross.
famously the Red Cross. Saving lives, looking after people in the who've gone too hard at festivals, giving them a slice of orange.
Is that what the Red Cross does?
Well, the Red Cross
isn't
are
that
at
St. Our, John's
don't
ambulance.
Burn, oh, don't we play we, innocent we, with me, Tom Parry.
I didn't think that was the Red Cross. Though. I thought it was the St. John's ambulance. I thought the Red Cross was more serious than that.
There'll be people from the Red Cross at the like Summer Fates. I think St. John's ambulance and Red Cross, they're interchangeable. It's just whoever shows up first. Rivals. If they hear there's a Summer Fate happening or a festival, they just immediately get in their van and just get in their sort of COD ambulance, fire themselves over there.
Is it like Sharks and the Jets?
It is very. It's very. It's a turf war. It's the Crips versus Bloods.
Oh.
Which is really bad names for two people who are supposed to be helping you. But I think the red X on work suggests is more negative than a green X. So I don't use a red pen as often as that. So the red pen is.
I tend to mark my own work.
Yeah, but you've got to be kind to yourself, man. You've got to be kind to yourself.
A green note very seriously.
Oh, I see.
So you give yourself a red note. I thought you just, with green, just write good question over everything.
I like this. I like that. I like where that's going.
So green for your foods, green for your foods, red for your pens, brown, flush it down.
Turn it down.
Yeah.
If the liquid's brown, flush it down.
It does clean your toilets as well, doesn't it, old Coca-Cola?
Is that
I mean, there's
true?
Literally nothing good about Coca-Cola. It is fucking insane. And Diet Coke, even fucking worse. Like a worse taste. Just absolutely rancid tasting thing.
Not worth it.
From an objective point of view, you cannot defend it, and yet hugely popular.
Do you have a canned drink that you do enjoy?
Yes, I do.
what would be your pref for a canned drink? I bet you're going for those. Orange drinks that have got the little bit of foil for freshness over the top.
San Pellegrino is it's a rare treat.
Is that what you're going for on a hot sunny day?
It's a Rio for me, I'm afraid.
Oh!
A Rio Tropical.
The bird of paradise of the canned drink world.
It really is.
It's a Rio Tropical and no mistake. The gentleman's lilt.
You call it... You, of course, call it the sparrow of the... Because, different ideas of tropical paradise, aren't there? Some people say
the Rio Tropical. It feels like when you mature, you leave lilt behind. I'll have a Rio Tropical, please. And like, I like the fact that there's a like the tropical afterwards, as if there's going to be like other types of Rio drink. But I've only ever known there to be Rio Tropical. It's not like Lynx. You don't get like Rio.
You don't get flavors.
Banana, or you don't get like Rio Canada.
Oh, isn't there? I thought there was different. Rio.
Is there is not there? Like a kind of Rio mango flavour?
What,
and stuff
I could
like
be
that,
wrong because I don't actually have it that often.
Or am I thinking of Rubicon? I might be confusing it with Rubicon, which are those different flavours of the old
with Rubicon as
of
well.
The old
actually.
Rubicon. I can picture. And is it also is Rio in a blue
Rio Tropical,
can?
Please.
Rio Tropical, sorry. Is Rio Tropical in a blue can?
I think it's in like a multicoloured can that's kind of taken like. At the moment, it's kind of like a whitish can with lots of pictures of fruit on it.
Right. Oh, it changes all the time, does it? Sort of constantly evolving.
Yeah, it's...
Keep it fresh.
And because it's not a big player in the soft drink market, it doesn't really have to explain itself. Like, you're never going to get Rio Tropical coming out going, brand new recipe. Like, no one cares. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one thinks about Rio Tropical enough. I don't know. In hindsight... Maybe that would have been like a good calling card as a in my single days, like as a student or whatever, to be like, what's my drink? It's a Rio Tropical and vodka, or like Rio Tropical and lime, whatever. Not Rio Tropical and lime, I imagine. There's lime. It's a lazy night out on a Rio Tropical and lime. I'd had six Rio Tropicals and limes and
just a stone cold sober with loads of acid reflux.
He puked first. Harry was the first guy retching outside the club.
That just you just described
it was on
lockdown,
doubles.
Clarkie.
House meeting.
Cold rain or hot snow?
What is sleeting?
House meeting. Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My results are in.
Oh, great.
With the pen. Because tell you, hard science results like a graph. This is what you want. This is all you want in life.
So you've unscrewed the pen now.
Straight away,
and
looking, what you're saying.
You're looking at the colours here and seeing which one
blue
is
almost dead. Blue is almost gone.
Okay, so you're blue's starting with blue.
Blue's the favourite.
Great.
Then it's black.
Yep.
Then it's red.
Yep.
Then it's green is completely full. And that, to me, is the correct order. Well, no, you write in blue.
You know
sometimes
what?
Use black and red for your important stuff.
In blue and white.
Green, it's like I'm not a teenage girl writing about my crushes.
Well, the thing is, I am. That is when I'm creating, I try to create
Dear Diary.
with the innocent open heart of a teenage girl writing about her crushes, because all of my projects are my crushes.
Yeah, I was going to say you're also writing high school musicals, aren't you?
Yeah.
You'll get one away one day, Crosby.
Fingers crossed, you know. Hope springs eternal in the teenage hearts of Matthew Crosby. The question I was going to ask you, and it fits in with the thing you were just talking about there.
Beautiful.
Your drink of choice was...
Rio Tropical.
Of course, Rio Tropical. Do you think you have a style? Because I was thinking about this today. I was thinking, like... There are certainly people I know who have a style, and maybe that means they just always wear a suit. You know, that might be their style. But I was thinking, do I have a style? Does anyone I know have a style? You know, I can't think of that many people. I'll go. Here's things you could definitely picture items that people would wear. You know, obviously, Parry in your case, a yellow T-shirt. But do you think you've gotten like an overarching look, if you had to describe your look, either of you, do you think you've got one?
No. Yeah, I think you can certainly look at to come back to the periodic table and the noble gases, I think you can certainly put us into a subsection without it necessarily being a style. Like, you know, like for example, like smartness, for example.
Yeah.
Like I would put you, for example, Crosby, in the smartness category above myself, but
right.
Below a lot of smart people that I know.
Yeah, below most people.
And I'd put Clarkie.
Are we still talking about clothes?
I'd probably put Clarkie either adjacent to myself or slightly below me in the kind of smartness ladder.
Below you? You mad?
Slightly that's, below, that, maybe.
Tom, are you fucking insane?
Clarkie looks genuinely crushed.
Tiny mind.
I think. Sorry, Tom. That is batshit.
You are the least smart person there has ever been.
It suits you, man. But you are.
I mean,
there's a totally
deliberate.
You, yeah.
But you wear a lot of sportswear. You wear almost exclusively wear shorts that are not smart.
Yeah. Often kind of cargo shorts, that kind of thing.
I'm like a chinos guy.
Yeah.
You know, which is like...
Chinos, white pair of trainers, you know, plaid shirt, maybe with an undershirt underneath. That's a Clarkie look. That's what I would imagine. I'd see Clarkie.
Okay. So is a look a style?
No, not. It's not. But I'm just saying, I can picture the kind of clothes people would wear, but I'm wondering if anyone considers themselves to have a style. And I don't, I mean, I'm not happy with my style. What's your style? Oh, my style is slightly smarter than Parry, but but more scruffy than most other people in the world. I don't know if that is enough of a peg to hang my jumper on.
I mean, but, if anyone, yeah, I mean, I think if anyone starts to flag up that I'm going for something, then I immediately get a bit.
Oh, really?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Not wanting to belong to any gang that have you as a member, new jumper,
if I get a new jumper and more than three people make a fuss of that jumper in the first 2 weeks of me wearing it, I'll probably stop wearing that jumper.
Really?
Because I don't want to talk about my fucking jumper. And it's like, if it's enough of a jumper for people to go, ooh, either, oh, that's a nice jumper, or, oh, you've got a new jumper, or, hey, jumper, or something. I don't know, mention the jumper, I don't know.
Sure, there are any other options you want to throw out there? Because for the people who haven't quite grasped it, jumper.
Jumper. That third one, I was stood the wrong side of the railings on London Bridge, but that, it's a different story. Oh, no. But, like, you know, they, like, if someone mentions my jumper, then it's like, I'm not into this jumper.
Really?
I want a jumper that blends into life. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just a part. It's a part. It feels like a part of me.
Yeah,
you not. It's not in front of me.
Well, I mean, it is in front of you. Some of it is. Some of it's behind you.
Oh, fucking hell! Is something? Oh, there's meat in this, boys.
Good question.
Our good friend, my cousin Gareth, has just moved to Sweden.
Oh yeah.
And did you know about like the Swedish? Swedish have like rules. To like, it's like a way of life that they kind of live by. I think it's the Danish.
Wait, are you saying the Swedish have rules that they have to live by? That's called laws. Every country has that. Just because you have never stuck to any of them, just because you're wanted by the fashion police and the actual police,
I'm not touching it. So, that's cutting. Is this because I said you weren't as smart as most people?
No, that's fair actually. I also like the fact that you said, I don't like to wear anything that draws, you know, that draws any attention to me. You're wearing a t-shirt with a dog, like a panting dog that says loosen up on it. It's like, that's quite a statementy. Yeah. That's quite a statementy jumper, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, you had that whole thing with the yellow t-shirts, which is very kind of like.
But I think the difference with the yellow t-shirts is that you wear them enough and no one's talking about them.
That's true.
100%. Like, if someone pictures me turning up at a place, they picture me turning up with a yellow t-shirt on, then I turn up with a yellow t-shirt on, bosh, fine.
Yep.
If I turn up in fucking green Lycra or some shit, but like.
That's true of anybody. True of but anybody, like, apart from Mr. Motivator.
It was my favourite thing about the yellow t-shirts is, like, people just assume they know what I look like and then they know that's what I look like. So it's like, it's not even a thing.
Yeah. No, I get that.
That's like, and actually, like, because I was left with so many yellow t-shirts, most of the yellow t-shirts I wear are just the yellow t-shirts that say yellow t-shirt. I've got, like, about 10 of them. And, like, if I could just wear that t-shirt without it, like, why not? Anyway.
Great point.
I mean, the cliche is it's not the same as the Einstein thing, but like the cliche is the Einstein thing, isn't it? Where
Steve Jobs,
all the same wardrobes.
Yeah, Brundlefly.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so apparently this Danish, there's like a Danish, Swedish, Scandinavian way of life.
Oh yeah.
And it's not like official laws, but it's like, it's called like the rules of Jante, and it's like you live by these principles for society.
Okay.
And if you stick to those principles, then everyone gets on and everything's fine. And like, so part of that is everyone tends to dress quite mutedly and doesn't really want to stand out.
Oh.
Right? So I looked at these rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell. So it's like a fucking... The 10 rules of Jante. Don't think... Rule 1, don't think you're anything special.
Right.
Have some of that. That's off the bat.
And this is for...
Number 2, don't think you're as good as we are.
Don't think you're as good as we are. Who wrote these rules? This isn't Lars von Trier, is it?
So everyone had been living by them. Well, it's a similar principle. Like, people have been living by them for centuries, and then some dude kind of wrote them down, and everyone was like, yeah, that's right, that's what they are.
Right. Don't think you're as good as we are. Okay.
Don't think you're smarter than we are.
Yeah.
Don't convince yourself that you're better than we are.
Okay.
Don't think you know more than we do. Don't think you're more important than we are. Don't think you're good at anything. Don't laugh at us. Rule 8. Rule 9, don't think anyone cares about you.
Jesus.
That's tough, man.
And rule 10, don't think you can teach us anything. Oh, and rule 11, don't drink the fizzy brown stuff. apparently those principles in society means that everyone has a tendency to respect and get along, and there's balance. That is intense arena, isn't it?
So say, for example, you're a concert pianist, right? Okay. You've got to the level of being a concert pianist.
Yeah.
Do you not have to feel at your concerts, maybe I shouldn't be doing this? Would you not have a sort of a conflict there?
I think what you'd be is you'd be modest. You'd go, well, okay. I just try. I play the piano. I don't think... I don't think I'm good at, you know, same for me with accents. I don't think, you know, I try. Don't think I'm necessarily doing it well, but I'm doing it.
Don't think you're good at anything.
I mean, the don't laugh at us thing's brutal.
Yeah, there's some in there that don't seem so bad, and there's some in there I'm not for.
I think this is probably because I'm not... not as smart as most people. I'm struggling.
Stuck in there.
It's got me, man.
Here's what I think, Crossbow. I think because I know you,
yeah,
and I've known you for a long time in your many, not in your many forms, but like. You know, like
I'm a shapeshifter. You know. I should tell for the listener who don't realize that I am a shapeshifter.
I know the man behind the wardrobe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think at heart you're not a smart man.
No. I don't think I am.
So when you dress smart, to me,
it's a put on.
It's not a put on, but it's like, you know, it's not who you, it's not your style, man.
It's not my style. Yeah. I do like to dress smart. I do get a kick out of it. But
You look good when you do.
Thanks, man. But no, the thing I'm trying to struggling with is the don't laugh at us, right?
Yeah.
That's a rule. Basically, it's basically saying don't take the piss out of other people. Is that the rule? Am I getting that right?
I think so.
Don't take the.
I think it's why the Swedish don't have a slightly different sense of humour to the British. Right. Which is take the piss out of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might struggle with that because I do enjoy taking the piss out of people and things. And I also do enjoy people taking the piss out of me. I think it's part of, you know, it's sort of part of friendship, isn't it?
But that's a British, I think that's an inherently, the you know.
We love why, the banter, man.
And it's why this country's paradise. You know? God. We got the birds, we got the bants, we got the water.
No, this, I don't we think.
Got the bants of prey.
The birds, bants, and water. It doesn't seem like. It seems like a sort of a slogan for an 18 to 30 holiday. I don't think it's what we should be. Are you going to. Do you feel like you stick to any of those? Are there any of those you're like, yeah, I stick to those? Because I didn't think.
Don't think you're anything special.
You think you stick to
moving
that?
Moving on.
I'm just not writing, just so you know, I'm not writing anything in red next to that one.
I've got my green all the way. Actually. Don't think you're anything special. I agree with that. I mean, well, I think
they're all good principles. Yeah, I think. I mean, in the most part, they're all good. Is there any you think just don't, you don't you, you
the good one is don't think you're as good as we are, right?
Yeah.
Don't think you're smarter than we are. I agree with. Don't convince yourself that you're better than we are. That feels like the same as the other ones.
Yeah.
That feels like a wasted number 4, isn't it?
How many are there?
That feels
10?
Like a wasted. It's a bit like, you know, in the Ten Commandments when it's like, what's one of them like? Don't covet your neighbor's oxen or some shit, and it's like,
yeah.
It feels like a waste.
I mean, the Ten Commandments were all over the shop. That's a chat for a different day. But I mean,
but that's why Jesus came.
Four of them are just like,
that's because he came and rewrote them, didn't he? Went, forget the Ten Commandments. Here's two of them.
What?
Always wear sandals. Rock a beard. I can't remember. Love God above all things. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's it.
Because
that incorporates. If you're loving your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not murdering anybody. You're not.
And number three, don't laugh at me. This is where it loses its way. What this reeks of is someone who was on a roll and then got a bit too giddy.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, this is going well. People are loving this, and then they kind of go, I don't think anyone cares about you. And you're like, whoa.
Chill out, mate.
Fucking hell.
What, man?
I guess what they... I mean, and also, it's pretty chopsy of someone handing down rules to an entire society to finish with, don't think you can teach us anything. It's like, oh, really? I guess don't think anyone cares about you leads to being self-sufficient and independent.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know about these rules, man.
I don't know about these rules at all.
If we have any Scandinavian listeners, though, I'd love to hear from them, because I think that would be genuinely interesting to hear how, you know, whether or not this is something that loads of people have adopted. Is it something they think about? Is it something that, is there like a rebellious faction? Because that's the thing my brain goes to. If I was a teenager knowing those were the rules, I'd want to be like, you know what? I'm better than you. I'm going to laugh at you, and I'm going to try and teach you something in the process. Like, that would be my instinct to rebel against the sort of...
I would have loved to have been a pupil in your classroom.
My classroom, when I was a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, but you come in and you're open with that. I'm going to laugh at you, I'm going to rebel, but I'm also going to teach you something. And it's like, that scruffy guy is fucking dead.
That vagrant who stumbled in out of a skip, who's got loads of little waft lines coming off him and flies buzzing around his head.
He won't let us finish our sentences, but he's, you know, he's a cool dude.
Look at the way he sat on that chair.
He's upside down, for God's sake. Nanu, nanu.
I can see his brick pecker. Oh.
House meeting.
What would you say to Roman Keating?
House meeting.
Probably nothing at all.
There you go. What a treat.
What a treat.
Yes, absolutely. And if you are a listener from the north of Europe and you obey the rules of Jante or whatever they are, Jante, then let us know how they work out for you and whether they are enforced by an actual legal force.
Is there a sort of Judge Dredd type situation? Does somebody see you snickering at someone else and you get, you know, spend a couple of nights in old Chokey just to sort of chill you out a bit, sensible you up a little bit?
Let us know. Before we go, I'd like to read a little email that someone sent us. This is from O, who got in touch via puppiesflatshare@gmail.com. Get in touch. Front letters only. A near-death experience. This is titled from O. Dear Pappies and producer Emma, I discovered your podcast a long time ago, but somehow never got round to really listening to them until early this year. I like that.
I like the idea that you've just been, you know what? That's great.
If just collecting them up.
People who just think, I want to get loads of them before I launch into this. Great.
Long time subscriber, first time listener.
Love it.
My grandmother passed away suddenly and I found myself in need of a nice distraction and some serious cheering up and remembered you guys. I went and picked a house meeting at random and all I can remember of it now is that by the time you were talking about the adventures of Rusty Nutshackle, I was laughing so hard that I cried. I then made the mistake of checking out Pappy's Bangers and Mash. As a lover of all Christmas episodes, I picked out all the trimmings. I laughed so hard that I literally inhaled my sandwich. My life didn't flash before my eyes. Instead, I kept thinking, I cannot die like this. My husband will be mortified to tell anyone that I died like this, while you guys were in the background banging on about dying in a skip. As soon as I'd recovered sufficiently, I've nearly died like this before. I know the drill. I keep inhaling stuff. I know it's not good. I promptly cancelled my HBO subscription to put that money towards your Patreon.
Aww.
My other podcast has ever given me no other podcast has ever given me a near-death experience, and I don't know what more I could even ask for. Thanks for existing. I no longer eat whilst listening to you. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Oh, up north.
What a message.
Oh, thank you.
What a great,
amazing message.
What
thank
a great
you so
incentive
much,
as well for people to join the Patreon. Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, please be careful. any future eating exploits.
If you're eating, we should really have put a warning at the start of this episode. If you're eating a gull sandwich, put it down before you listen.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it is a pleasure to be in your ear canal and not your esophagus. Anyway.
final request. We need beefs for our show on May 23rd. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your beefs. Don't worry, you don't have to be on screen or anything. They'll just get read out by one of the comics and hopefully solved. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send your beefs in today.
Today's episode was produced, as ever, by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, you in?
Okay. Okay, everybody.
The votes are in for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch.
You're not going to go with that at all, then.
Roll call by-election.
Not going to go with the voice we started with. Okay.
I was treating it as a bit of a throat cleaner.
Okay, a throat cleaner. Okay, sure. Why did I need to clean your throat? That's the big question.
Because it's in my contract. All right, then. All right, then. We go now for the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call, voting, election night results in the neighbourhood. There's been an election in the neighbourhood.
Neighbourhood election.
Let's go to the roll call and see the Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call results. 150. Oh, it's Tracy Jeffrey.
You've set yourself a real rod for your own back here, Parry, because you're now, if you're going to have to rhyme every person's name with a number, right?
150. It's Tracy Jeffrey.
I feel like he's made a rod for our backs.
150. It's Joe Gay. Yeah. Okay, here we go. 137. It's Jennifer Chapman.
Yes! Well, a huge result there for Jennifer Chapman, who wasn't anticipating being in the election. So, that's a lot of votes.
134. Sarah Louise Hannah Ford.
Very disappointed with 154. Last time she went for this election, she got 156. So two of her supporters have clearly looked elsewhere.
For this election. Last time she went for this election. Okay, carry on. Let's get. Here we go.
Okay.
Yes. This is good stuff, by the way.
110 and then 50. So, yes. 110 and then 50 for Olivia. Well, that's 160 for Olivia, I think, by my book. She went for this election in June and is delighted.
Another person who went for the election.
Which June? Is she delighted because of the early result?
We haven't got to June yet, and I'm trying to struggle. Does June rhyme with eight? I don't know. 173 points. It's Madeline Brownfield points.
A huge result for Madeline Brown Field and the points. Fans are delighted in the points.
One.
Jacob Thompson.
He's just happy to be involved as Jacob. He went for this election in March, and it wasn't happening in March. So he's
going to be delighted to have got a vote. You know, he's one of those cunts who has something on his head and thinks it's all a big laugh. He'll be returning his deposit, and no mistake. Okay. Who was that? Thompson. Who got one?
That was Jacob Thompson.
Jacob Thompson. Didn't even vote for himself.
Coming in with 73 and 20 more votes that have to carry, it's Harry.
Harry rhymes with three, Tom. You could have stopped there.
Yes, but he got quite a lot of votes. Harry, very popular this time around. 70, carry the 20. That's 90 in my book. That's not going to get him into the seat. But he entered the election, and he's delighted with the turnout.
Okay, with 700 votes, and three of them friars.
Oh, yes, the friars came out and voted
very
together.
Very popular with the monks.
They came down from the abbey together famously. Well, there are 700 monks in that abbey, so not that popular, actually.
Not that popular.
He's regretting his policy that he ran on. Fuck the monks. he should never have... It was a brave slogan. It was a bold slogan. He was ill-advised.
It was a hell of a song as well.
It was, yeah. Going straight out the underground.
It is, of course, Matthew Tyus.
Well, of course.
It is, of course, Matthew
Tyus. Now, with all the votes you can count on one hand, it's Kate Holland.
Only five votes for Kate Holland. She will be fucking gutted with that because she was the previous minister of this borough.
It's the bizarre thing is you're actually quite politically engaged.
Two votes, and they are both the hosts of the podcast All Killer No Filler, voted for Sarah Miller. Just the two votes there. Kerry Bridgard-McLean and Rachel Fairbairn nailing their colours to the mast, voting for Sarah Miller there, whose only policy was to talk more about serial killers. So you can see why she snagged the vote.
With 475 votes, I'm afraid he's not got it in the can. It's James Masterman.
Oh, Masterman thought he was over the line with that many votes, but it's hard to know who has had the most because we've all lost track.
He's really regretting his slogan, I've got this in the can.
And he obviously travelled around the constituency in a can.
Like combo.
Which people thought was just silly, really. Yes, he comboed himself around the constituency, glad-handing his way through the village. Like combo.
So he comboed himself through a constituency and glad handed his way through the village.
It was the triple combo, yes.
3 million. He's got it in the can. It's Tony Patreon Beckingham.
It's a big vote for Tony Patreon Beckingham. His can, famously much bigger than James Masterman's, which may have swung it for all the can fans. And obviously, this is a big can area with the can factory and also can the big sign that says...
We love cans. We can. They're all huge fans of krautrock as well in this area. So the can tribute band that he formed really pushed him over the edge.
Only one vote, but it was one for the road. Literally, for Jenny Road.
Only two votes, but it was twos. Tom Hughes.
Oh, Hughes will be gutted with that.
Only three votes. What an absolute fool. It's Matthew Paul.
Well, so, Matthew Paul has demanded a recount, though, and news just in that he has got 35 million votes. So not so much the fool anymore, actually.
I would doubt anybody who gets 3 votes in the first count demands a recount and gets 35 million in the second. Well, either the election is on really shaky ground, or Matthew Poole has pulled some strings big time.
What happened is, it turns out Ben's piece of paper was folded in a very awkward place and he just hadn't revealed the rest of the number. So
it was folded inside his trousers, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Could be a more awkward place for it.
Well, there we go. What an exciting night. Lots to report, but that's for another time. The election is over, and it has been a landslide that has tragically destroyed the village.
No more glad handing. The village has been destroyed.
The just sad handing been, from now on in.
It's all sad handing.
It's sad handing at the can factory from now on, guys.
If you can lend a sad hand, please get down here and help us with the rubble that's buried the can factory.
And those that can't can.
Include today's Nightmare Watch, Patreon roll call, and here to can us out at the Village Dancers.
Yeah.
Careful. No, too much vibrations from your feet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.